Hi, Leah.
Hi.
Esther. Hi, how are
Hi.
You? Shavuot, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Shavuot.
In Atlanta here, we have some new students. So I'm going to be going through some of the first and second classes rather than continue with class number six because the people who had indicated they might come for that have indicated that there's some issues going on with their families. So we'll do that next week. So I'm just letting you know that we're going to be changing the subjects.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and log off. Because
not a problem.
I have other things going on, and it was going to be hard for me to stay in the same room anyway. So I'll hold off till next week. And hello, by the way, I also have a board meeting tomorrow. It's the third Monday, so I won't be able to make the mini so far.
Understand.
Okay, usually I'm back for the 9 o'clock class. I wasn't last time, but that was some unusual business. But hope to see you tomorrow night.
You take care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'm just going to stay and review.
Okay, because you missed some of those classes anyway, Leah Esther. So it's probably beneficial if you do the review.
Okay.
So please join me in saying the Ana B'Koach. Welcome. Patricia, John, Patricia. Before you arrived, I was just explaining that because of the new people, we would be reviewing some things, and that's always beneficial for everybody. So please join me in saying the Ana B'Koach. The gray paper has the words in what's called transliteration. So they're the Hebrew words in English letters in the lower line. But if you just want to listen, that's fine. And I will say in advance, my singing voice is not the best. Ana B'Koach, G'dulat Yemicha, Tati, Tzera, Aleph Bet Gimel, B'Tzat Tzadu. The letters of the month of Tevet, the Bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn, and the Ayin that created the constellation Gedi, the goat, which is the astrological sign of Capricorn. Together, the Ayin and the Bet have a gematria, a number value, of 72, which connects us to the Sephirah of Chachma, the level of wisdom. Kabel rinat amcha tadvenu tachaleinu nora. Ufreshai sin tot nun. Na gibor dor sheyuchutcha kefa vacham rin. Nun gimadalit with Katsun. Barchem tacharem, rachame sitkatha, tami gamle, petetresh, saditaf gimel. Chasin kadosh, piro tuha, nae ladatecha. Het kufbet, het nunayan. Yachid ge'e lamcha b'nei zo'vei kedushatecha. Yud gimel lamed, pei zayin kuf. Shavatenu kabel u'shmatiyakatenu yodea ta'alumo. Shin kufav, zadi yud tav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. Now we're going to utilize the 13 attributes of mercy to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, between the male energy and the female energy. And that's not men and women. It's a different concept. And we also are separating between the positive and the negative systems. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, Notzer Chesed L'Alabim, Noseawon Vahesha, Vechata'a Vinake. And now we're going to connect to the energy of this year, the energy of the goat, the energy of the wake-up call that is essentially the metaphysical energy of this year, 5777. Which started in September in the holiday of Rosh Hashanah and will run through September, not all of September of this coming year. And I haven't memorized the verse. It's Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. It has five words. And one of the techniques we will utilize is we take the first letter of each of those words and see what other words come from that, what other teachings are concealed within that verse. And so the three words that are created from that is Tzatz Ki Ach, which translation is to appear like brothers. And we can understand the idea of that is if you start to act like a brother to another person, like treating them with human dignity, with closeness, with love and affection, eventually that will be not just your actions, your outward appearance, but it will become your inner essence. And then the eighth line of the Grey Sheet, the Anabakoa, we say in a whisper, but I'm going to say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vaed. Now I'm going to read a verse from the Zohar. I'm reading from section 52, verse 236 of Bereshit Bet. And I'm going to start with the L'shem Yehud, which is a way of addressing our consciousness and putting it in line with the study. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bithilu Urchimud Hilu Hilu Urchimud Deyakta l'shem yud-hei b'vav-hei v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah lasok Torah mitzvah v'yehi noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konanei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konaneihu Amar Rabbi Shimon Gavna Dao Raita Kain Bain Kirei Bati Israel. Wigomer had Sitima Ila'a Behadit Galia Yatir Ila'a Kogadon Dictir Kogadon Velo Yaseh. Rabbi Shimon said, similarly, the Torah that is there on Pin is situated between two houses, between two nukvas, between Ima, the mother, which is called house, as in for both houses of Israel, a verse from Isaiah. One is upper and sealed with the supernal Ima, Bina, and the other is more revealed. The supernal sealed one is the great voice referred to in a great voice which was not heard again, which is a verse from Devarim, from Deuteronomy. Do you have any questions about the verse? It isn't necessary to explain the verses at this point because you're just learning. And the vocabulary is extremely technical. It's talking about what people consider the tree of life. And you may have heard the term before. It is a metaphysical concept. In Genesis, it speaks of the tree of life, and it speaks of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And as we will come to understand, and this is not a criticism, it's a description. Most of the Western world has had the Hebrew Torah translated to Greek. Then it was translated to Latin. Then it was translated to English as the King James Bible. And then it's been translated back into the original. So all of these translations have lessened and concealed much of the truth that is in the original. That doesn't mean that as English speakers we need to read in the original, but we need to understand that limitation is built in to English translations, whether they're from a Hebrew background, Jewish background. I don't care what your religion is. If you're dealing in English or you're dealing in French or Spanish or any other language, it's something less clear than the original. And the original is not clear because every word, really every letter, every verse has 70 understandings. 70, I don't want to call them interpretations because they're not interpretations. They're the meaning of the Creator's words. But as human beings, we are used to, and especially in the Western world, we are used to perceiving things from the standpoint of a literal level. We read it. That's what it means. That's not what the original says. And I will give you a perfect example as we start this class. What's the first phrase in the Bible? You all know it. The Hebrew word, those three words, as an English translation, come from one Hebrew word, Bereshit. That word depends on the vowels that are put underneath or around the letters. But in the Torah itself, there are no vowels. So when someone says Bereshit, they are saying in a beginning. If someone is saying Bereshit, they're saying in the beginning. Now, is there a difference between those two phrases? There certainly is. Which is right? They're both right. We have a codex called the Masoretic Codex, which is a scroll written around 800, 900 in the Common Era. And that scroll says, these are the vowels that the reader of the Torah on Shabbat morning should use. That doesn't mean that the other vowels are not correct. It just means this is what they were doing in those years. Does it mean that they took it from Moses back at Sinai and that's what he meant? When we have the resurrection of the dead, we'll ask Moses. But until then, we don't know. But we have this tradition that there are 70 understandings. And the word Bereshit can have different meanings depending on the vowels that are used. So when we talk, when we teach, we are not teaching a literal approach. There are four levels of understanding the Bible. The two levels are an acronym called Pardes. Pardes stands for, the Hebrew word Pardes means garden. It stands for these four levels. Pashat, simple, literal meaning. Resh is remes, hints. Every word, every verse has some hints. The metaphorical understanding, the ethical understanding, this is called the drash. And the fourth level is called the sod, the secrets. It represents the deeper levels of understanding. We teach as many as I have learned as we go through it. But I will always give you all of the meanings that I know. That doesn't mean I know it all, because I certainly do not. But that's what the teachings are. And this basic class is to give you an understanding of what is the Kabbalah. And before I go into explaining that, we're teaching what is called Kabbalah. The question is, I spoke with Fran, I have no background from you, John. Why are you here? What are you just a curiosity? Or is there some deeper aspect to that? And you'll see where your curiosity leaves you if that's what it is. It's a question I'm giving to you before I explain to you what I do.
Fran,
okay. And what Fran had expressed to me is that she had no background about Judaism, and she was interested just to, from a curiosity standpoint. And you should be very clear, this is not a class of proselytizing. I am not presenting to you, come be a Jew. As a matter of fact, throughout our history, our rabbis have told us, you can't do that to any person. Why would you want to expose them to all of the prejudice and anti-Semitism associated with being Jewish? We can't get away from it. Why invite somebody to do it? So proselytizing is not what we're about. Those four levels that I spoke of, the sod is considered the Kabbalah. The secrets, the deepest level, is the Kabbalah. One of my teachers described it as the soul of the Bible. Everything has a body and a soul. Why? Because that's the way God created us. We have a soul, we have a body. Are they the same? No, they're not. Are they different levels? Yes. Everything in our world has a body and a soul. If you have an animal, that animal has a soul. It's a living thing. But even the rocks and streams that we consider inanimate have a soul. But there's a difference between those souls and the souls of living beings. And just as there are four levels of Torah, there are four levels of souls. Right now, I'm not going to go into it. I'm just making the point. In our basic class, we just discuss one simple thing, and I think I have some. If you give me a second to look at it, I wasn't expecting it, but it may very well be here. Yes. By the way, those papers are for you if you want to take them. If you want to leave them, that's fine. I'm putting this upside down. You've done it, so. Now you can turn it over, and what I'm doing on the conference call is reviewing this sentence. May I read the sentence? Finished files are the result of years of scientific study combined with the experience of years. I want you to count the letter S in that sentence. And we're going to take a couple of minutes while you do that. And it's not a pressure and it's not a test. There's no right or wrong answer. When you counted them, let me know. How many letters?
About six.
Six. What did you get, John? Three. As I said, there's no right or wrong answer. But let's go through it together. F in finished files is two. The word of is three. The second word of is four. The F in scientific is five. The word of is six. Is six. Why did you get it right?
Just counted.
Do you know anything about your astrologer? Do you know anything about, was your first language English? Do you know why you got it wrong?
Yeah, I think so.
The three of's?
Yes, that's where I got it wrong. I'm not exactly sure why.
Well, I'm going to explain why.
Mm-hmm.
We have built into us what is referred to as a Yetzer Hara and a Yetzer Tov, a good inclination and an evil inclination. And literally, they're two angels that live within our body that are not our soul. And they speak to our mind. And they tell us what we do. The good inclination tells us to do good things. The evil inclination tells us to do not so good things. Who are you going to listen to? That is your free choice. When someone looks at this sentence, it's very rare that someone gets it right. They either come with two tools. One of those tools is that they have a lot of Virgo in their chart, in their astrological chart, because the Virgo tends to be looking at details and be very good at looking and seeing details. But they don't necessarily look at the full picture. They see the trees, but they don't see the forest. If your birthday is in late August through the middle of September, as a general rule, that's Virgo in your sun sign. But there are 12 signs in an astrological chart. And we will discuss a bit about why astrology is not recognized and why Hashem gave us that tool, and that where in the Bible all of those astrological insights are revealed.
What's Hashem?
Yeah, Hashem.
Hashem.
Is a name. We don't say the name of God. But let me rephrase that. There are many names of God, because each name is an attribute of God. So there's an attribute of mercy. There's an attribute of judgment. There's an attribute of wisdom. There's an attribute of understanding. There's an attribute of knowledge. There's an attribute of sexuality. There's an attribute of creativity. Each of these attributes that I've mentioned has a different name of God associated with it. Hashem is the highest level, the most powerful, the most unique, and it is the name of loving kindness. But we don't say that name. We refer to him when we're not praying as Hashem.
Okay.
And that would be translated as the name, as opposed to a name. And he has many names, because he has many infinite amount of attributes. In one sense, each one of us is an attribute of Hashem. So when someone looks at this, normally they make a mistake. Because in English, if you speak English as your native language, you don't see an F when you say the word of. It's a V. And if you're looking at it quickly, and most of us say, this is a silly game, what am I doing this for? That is your ego. That is your evil inclination speaking to your mind, saying, rush through this, it's a simple thing. Other people who have this ability to see details, they look at each letter and they count it. People who do not have English as their native language, they look at the details because they're unfamiliar with the idea. Yes, they'll say of for the word of, O-F, but they're aware, they're less comfortable with the English language, so they look at the details. And people with that trait of details in their astrological chart will do it, and they'll get it right. Most people do not get it right. And the reason is they have this ego that says, I'm important, and this task is unimportant. Let's finish it easily. This is the basis of our first class. If I drop this phone, will it hit the table?
Most likely.
Most likely. You're not sure?
Well, I mean, I am. So many new things are happening here.
I understand. And that's a very typical response to new students. They think it's a trick. It's not a trick. If I drop it, will it hit the table? John said yes. You're now saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
The question I'm asking you, why do you think it will hit the table?
Because gravity is turned off.
Because there's something that our physicists have told us that's called gravity that's going to impact the dropping of the phone, and it's going to go down. Is that something you believe in? Or is that something you've experienced a million times so that it's no longer a belief, it's knowledge? Gravity is knowledge in our lives. It's a reality. Nobody questions it. With that understanding, I am not here for you to believe me. I am not here for you to accept what I say without question. I'm here to give you information. And you will choose to use that information in your life, make it knowledge through experience, experiential through experience, or choose not to. It doesn't matter to me whether you accept what I'm saying is truth, or you're not sure, you believe, you don't believe, it doesn't matter to me. It will matter to you if you use these tools, and that's what I'm here to give you. That information I will give you are tools to use in your life for one purpose, to have less chaos in your life. I met you in a rehab unit. You went through something wrong with your knee. You had a replacement. That's chaos. A death of a child is chaos. Death of a parent is not just something that happens. It's something that is chaotic. It creates chaos in your normal everyday life. You have to bury that parent. You have to deal with your grief. That's chaos. In the Talmud, which is the book of Jewish wisdom, of how to do the connections to God in the Bible. The Talmud was written around the year 300 to 600 of the New Era. In the Talmud, there's a section where it describes various righteous people, saints in most people's vernacular. And they are describing what is chaos in their life. One of them says the death of a child. Another says the death of a parent. Another says a divorce. Another says sickness. Another says the loss of limbs. Another says going blind. Another says getting older, aging. These are chaotic events. But there's one saint, that we call this week. And he says what is chaos in his life is when he reaches into his pocket to take out a quarter and he gets a dime. When he reaches into his pocket to get a dollar bill. He doesn't use those two terms, but I'm bringing it up to date. To get a dollar bill, and he takes out a $5 bill. That's chaos to him. Why? Because the world is run by the Creator who is perfect. And therefore, any action I do should be what I want it to be. When you use the word, I believe in God. I believe that the phone will fall to the floor, to the table. You are saying, I'm not sure. I lack certainty. I really don't know what's going to happen. We do not use the word belief. Does that mean that I am certain that God exists? The answer is yes. Can I prove it to you? The answer is no. Will I try to prove it to you? The answer is no. Will I ask you to do something that will allow you to prove it to yourself? The answer is yes. And that choice will be yours. Will you do it for the 3 months that I recommend? And prove to yourself or not. That's up to you. This class, this first session, is designed to bring this idea of what we are capable of doing. So now I'm going to give you another handout, upside down again. And I'm going to turn it over, and it's the same question. Please count the letter F's in that verse. Okay, I'm going to read the sentence for the conference call people. Franklin Featherstone is sometimes referred to as the father of refrigerated freight, comma, because of his efforts to publish the benefits of this form of transport, period. I see your number, so I understand you've got it. John, have you finished?
13.
You both have 13. Let's count them together. F is in Franklin is 1. F is in Featherstone is 2. C is in F is 3. Father is 4. Of is 5. Refrigerated is 6. Freight is 7. Efforts as 2 is 9 and 10. Benefits is 11. Of is 12. Form is 13. And of is 14.
So I didn't make it correct.
No. Well, you missed. You marked it all. Right. And I can tell you, I have never, and I've been teaching for 20 years this material, I have never had a student get both sentences correct. I've had students get them correct the first time, miss the second time. And for people who don't get them the first time, but they will get them the second time. But the majority of people get them wrong both times. And the reason is, we are so used to listening to that evil inclination telling us to do it wrong, to make a mistake. There's a very famous quote, and I'm getting static on the phone, so please mute your phones by pressing *6, and then you'll be able to ask questions by pressing *6 again. Thank you. People, you were told what the problem was. You were told, in your case, to miss the three, to miss the word of. So this time you counted it. But what was the one you missed from the 14th? Do you remember?
I think it was one of the of's.
Probably. But the point is, you know how to do this, and yet you make a mistake. And there's a famous adage, the air is human. But you were not put on this earth to make errors. You were put on this earth to learn from the errors that you make. You're in a sandbox. You're in a nursery school. Yes, you have a big body. You have an adult body. But we make mistakes, and we need to learn from them. The Bible is an instruction book on how to learn and what to learn. Does that mean it's accurate? Does that mean it's right? Yes, because it's directly the Word of God. But there are many people in this world who don't accept that statement. They're not sure if there's a God. And that's okay. God is very interesting. His essence is to share, as we will discuss in coming classes. His essence is to share, and he doesn't care if you like him, if you love him, if you hate him. Look around the world. You see people doing things that you have been taught are wrong. Does that person doesn't get food on his table? People who are homeless, do they still find food? Yes. We have people who have put forth what are they called? Soup kitchens. We have people who care, who share, who act like the Creator, act like God by sharing. Are they wrong to do that? If you feed this person, if you give him a dollar because he's homeless, he's going to go out and buy booze or he's going to go out and buy drugs. So don't give it to him. Many people will tell you that. What is the right thing to do? You don't know the person standing in front of you's background. You don't know what your action is supposed to be. Are you to give him the dollar that people give? Or should you give him $5? But don't give him $100, because in his world, that's a death sentence. Because that much money will be seen by the other people who are homeless, and it will attract violence and chaos. But what should you give him? Or should you give him? The answer to those questions is in your intuition. But in the Western world, we've been taught, don't listen to your intuition. Your intuition, that's something women do. It's not logical. It can't be explained to anybody. Is the Western world wrong? It's not that it's wrong. It's that it doesn't integrate the heart and the mind, the logic with the emotions. You have to learn to understand yourself and your motivations, because those motivations are built into your DNA, which 100 years ago, nobody heard the term DNA, but today everybody knows what I'm talking about. We are growing scientifically, educationally, spiritually. We're growing through knowledge. But are we utilizing that knowledge properly? That's where the guidance of the Bible helps us to understand that. But again, it doesn't matter to the Creator whether I grow in it at all. Because he's still going to give me shelter. He's still going to give me food. He's still going to clothe me. And he's going to leave me alone in this sandbox with the only guidance, the Bible, that I am trying to understand. That's the first class. What are we learning? We're learning why we make mistakes. we're learning that to err is human, but we were put into this world to become divine, to grow out of being human to being above the angels. That's a big shock to people, being above the angels. That's what mankind is to become? Yes, but not quickly. You can't become divine overnight. You have to make mistakes and then learn from those mistakes. And mankind in total is making mistakes and slowly learning from those mistakes. And we call that technology. But that technology comes from dreams. That technology comes from visions that people have of what they want to accomplish. The chemical periodic chart, it didn't just appear in the world. A very famous man who I don't remember his name because I'm human. I can't remember everything I learned. This man had a vision. He had a dream one night. And in that dream, all of the chemicals that he'd been involved with fit into this chart. Where did the dream come from? Where did the chart come from? It was time for mankind to have this technology. Where does the computer come from? A scientist, a physicist, a group of people have an image, have a system. They talk about what to do. They experiment. It's time for humanity to have that technology.
When I studied organic chemistry, mm-hmm. we learned that whoever it was had a dream about the six carbon,
right.
carbon atoms
in the nucleus.
Right.
Yeah. And then the chart came together in his mind. And then he taught it to other people. But it was all in a dream. It was a vision that it wasn't. Where did the thought come from? People don't yet know. We have a brain, which is a physical organ in our body. But then we have a mind, which is not in our body. And our thoughts come from our mind. And that, where do those thoughts come from? They come from higher levels of consciousness that we have not yet reached. Some people refer to it as our higher self. We are here teaching the principles of Kabbalah. It's about 20 weeks, 20 classes once a week. In these classes, you will learn various tools. Not that you will be proven anything. You'll just be taught information, and you can choose to use that information as correct or not correct. It's up to you. If you do the tools, if you use the tools as instructed, you will determine for yourself at the end of 3 to 4 months, this is correct. This works. This, whatever I've taught you is correct. And I'm not teaching you anything that isn't in the Bible. I'm not teaching you anything that my teachers, students of the Bible, didn't teach me. It's up to you how you want to approach it. You want to come back next week? You're welcome. You don't want to come back next week? I'm very happy. Either way. The next week, the second week, which is all of these classes are available on the website. So you can catch up to class number 6 next week. What are the classes? What's on the website? Next, the second week is we go through the history of the world. Not from the Big Bang to today, but before the Big Bang, even before the thought of creation, we go through the history as we've been taught what it says in the Bible, Bereshit, in a beginning. What does that mean? It means every instant of every day, God recreates the world. There's different U's. I don't mean E-W-E, I mean Y-O-U, apostrophe S. There are different people called Fran and John and Patricia. Just because your memory says, I lived 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and these were my life experiences, doesn't mean that that's true. Because you're a new person from the one that you were a minute ago, a second ago. Does God give you the same memories? Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Maybe part of growing from a child to an adult, from the adult in the sandbox to being able to use the tools of creation, maybe that takes a different set of memories each instant. We don't know. I'm giving you different ways of thinking. And I'm giving you a homework assignment if you're interested. Let me have the pen and I'll show it to you. It's very simple and you can duplicate it. Here are 9 dots on a piece of paper. Using 4 straight lines without taking the pen off the paper. Once you put it on the paper, 4 straight lines connect all 9 dots. And even though Patricia knows it, she would make a mistake.
I'm sure.
She knows the answer. And if you want me to give you the answer now, I will. But if you want to play with it for the week, come back and we'll spend a few minutes going over it. But I also recommend that you read the class number, basic class number 2 on the Hashem website. Because it's explaining to you why did the Creator create this world of pain and suffering. What is the purpose of pain and suffering, which he doesn't mean for us to have? It will explain the laws of spiritual physics, which is called the boomerang law. The action that you do comes back to you. It doesn't come back to you today. It may come back to you next week. It may come back to you next month, 10 years from now, next lifetime. But everything you do will always come back to you. Now, what does that really mean? It means if you do something that hurts another human being, even through oversight, you didn't mean it to happen, that negative action is going to come back in your life as chaos. And if you do a positive action, it's going to come back as a positive in your life. What's negative and what's positive? And as the guy on the Supreme Court said when he was talking about pornography, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. That's not Kabbalah. Kabbalah is very clear. We define everything. So what's good and what's evil? Evil is defined as the desire to receive in order to for oneself alone. Evil is defined as selfishness. Good is defined as the desire to receive in order to share. Simple terms, simple definition, easily understood. That if you ask somebody else, what's evil? murder is evil. Why is murder evil? Well, because the Ten Utterances, which you might call the Ten Commandments, says do not murder. But now let's go back to what Kabbalah says. Murder, the action of harming someone, is going to come back in your life as chaos. Selfishness or sharing? Can murder be sharing? Fran is shaking her head. Absolutely not. Absolute murder cannot be sharing. But what does a soldier do in war? He's not selfish. On one level, he is selfish. He wants to save his own life. But on another level, he knows that he needs to protect the civilian population. So his consciousness is a mixture of selfishness and sharing. God's essence is only to share. When we are only sharing, we are becoming, not that we're God, but we are learning to be what God wants us to be, higher than the angels.
Does it say that in the Bible?
The answer is yes, but in a concealed way. It also says that there's reincarnation in the Bible.
Yeah.
Again, in a concealed way. What do I mean by a concealed way? In the first few sentences of the Esther Dibrot, the Ten Utterances, what you call the Ten Commandments, and why I don't use the word commandment is because it's a corruption. Ten Commandments means that God commands you to do something. But that God doesn't care if you do it or you don't do it. He knows that ultimately, at the end of time, everyone is going to be connected to him. So it doesn't matter how, to him how long it takes, because time has no meaning at his level of comprehension. But in those first few sentences of the Ten Utterances, it says that the sins of the father will be visited on the children up to three or four generations. The code word is children. You can take it literally as means I have children who are young and they grow up to be adults. Or you can realize that children is a code word, meaning the same soul reincarnated into different bodies. Different ways of understanding the same words. When I say it's in a concealed way, I've just explained to you that concealment. You can see it in the literal way, but you don't realize its meaning without a teacher helping you to understand that. Because it's just not the way we are taught to comprehend things, in the Western world at least.
Just wondering about the time. I don't know if this answers part of that. Oh, it's exactly 6 o'clock.
And I'm usually pretty good at that.
Okay.
Are there any questions?
How do you spell Tzaddik?
Tzaddik.
And what does it mean?
It means righteousness, a righteous person. It means the same thing that you would use to call a saint.
And so the first four books of the Bible,
yes,
are called what?
Well, there are five books of Moses.
The books of Moses.
Right. The four books work directly from God's hand.
And when did that happen?
When Moses went up Mount Sinai. There were were 3 million witnesses to Moses going up the mountain.
Right.
And coming back in 40 days. And when he came back, he brought tablets that had the 10 utterances. It's all described in the Bible. Those four books were God telling Moses what to write. The fifth book was Moses writing to the children of Israel himself. And then God said, what you have written is correct, and make it part of the four. So there are five books of Moses. That's from a midrash, which is a story that may or may not be true, depending on how you want to evaluate it. And that's why I told you, I will give you truth and let you decide for yourself whether this is true or it's not true. There are 26 volumes in the Old Testament, meaning the Torah. Those 26 are actually 24, because the first and second books of Samuel and Kings and Chronicles as well, although are really one book that during the Middle Ages, the monks in the monasteries separated them into two books. So
what's the Zohar? What is that?
The Zohar is a series of books combined into, in this case, 22 volumes. And the Zohar is explanations revealing those code words that I mentioned. Child means the same soul incarnated into different bodies. The Zohar explains what's called the language of branches. The language of branches uses everyday terms to describe metaphysical concepts.
Who wrote that?
That was dictated, not dictated, that was written, actually it was taught by two people in a cave hiding from the Romans. And they were taught by Eliyahu, who came to visit them during the day and during the night, and taught them. And then they taught that to 10 other people. And one of those 10 was given 600 years of life to write it down. And that whole book was kept concealed from the time he finished writing it, 1,000 years. And then it was revealed to the world in the year 1070 or 1170.
And who, what's his name?
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
Can you spell that?
Shimon is Shimon.
Mm-hmm.
Bar is Bar. Yochai is Yochai. And he is revealed. He is revealed in the Torah, not just in the Zohar, but not in a literal way. He's revealed in the Torah as the first letters of certain four words in a row. The word Yochai in Hebrew is there in the first letters of a certain verse in Deuteronomy. Again. Is it coincidence? People will tell you that. Other people who are righteous people have always said, these are the words of God. They have many different levels and meanings and understandings. And it's mankind's job to reveal all of them.
My brain is having enough.
You've had enough. Okay. Before you leave, I just have one thing I want to say. I do not charge for this.
Okay, good.
I do ask that you make a donation. You're not required to make a donation, and no one is turned away if you don't. What I do at the end of every class is pass an envelope. If there's something goes into it, fine, and if something doesn't go into it, so just pass it down and up across the table.
Can I ask the question?
Sure.
Those who believe on me. Am I wrong? Because I just tried to look it up and all, I can't find
it. It's in the New Testament, and I don't teach the New Testament.
Okay.
The New Testament is not the Word of God. Does that mean it's not true? No, it doesn't mean it's not true. Three million people saw Moses. I'm getting quite a bit of static, so if you're going to ask a question, go ahead. Otherwise, I'm going to hang up. Thank you. The 3 million people saw Moses go up the mountain and then come down with the words, and they experienced verbally Moses teaching all 3 million people at the same time without microphones. So he spoke and they all heard. Now that's a story. Can I prove it to you? No. Every other religion was a person who said, God spoke to me, and this is what he told me to teach you. Only Moses taught 3 million people. So I teach the Old Testament based on that difference. I am not saying that Jesus is not whatever you believe him to be. I'm not saying that what you were taught as a child in Christianity, that he will save you, may or may not be true. This is for you to decide. What I can tell you is the tools that I teach will be beneficial in your life and remove chaos. I cannot make that statement about the New Testament. I don't have that experience in my life.
Well, I guess I was just wondering if that stating it that way has meaning to you. I mean, because
yes.
To me, somebody believing in makes sense. The on, I just can't put it into any kind of context.
I understand. I'm not here to believe anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to know. And knowledge comes from experience. And experience cannot be taught on a logical basis. I feel what I feel. You feel what you feel. Is your feelings any less valid than my feelings? They may be ugly feelings. They may be wonderful feelings. They're my feelings. And no one can say to me, what you're feeling is false. I can learn that what I'm feeling is false, but nobody can tell me what I'm feeling is false. It's up to you. What you read, what you thought as a child, comes from the New Testament. And I don't accept the New Testament. I don't teach the New Testament. I'm not an expert in the New Testament. I'm not even an expert in the Old Testament. But I know more of the Old Testament because of the way I study it.
We kind of, became aware of the reference to the new and the old. And, just for myself, I heard another way of thinking about it. This is the Hebrew Testament, the Jewish Testament. It's the Old Testament. I like that better because just because of the
nomenclature. New and old is not appropriate.
Being old is not. It gives it a sense.
In a youthful society,
right,
being old is not a benefit.
Right. So when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, here I've gone all these years and I know the way that is common with all kind of, I know the Hebrew Testament, but I was just saying that because, and I have some Christian friends that I'm teaching to say instead of the Old Testament and the New Testament, this is our Hebrew Testament, that's the Christian Testament.
That's good.
Yeah.
I love that.
I like that too.
Other questions? Are there any questions on the conference call? You all have a good evening, and we'll be back here at 5 o'clock on Sunday.
Thank you.
Which is 2 o'clock East Coast. Shalom to all.
Shalom.